This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We have talked a lot today, and I still have people on the lines who want to discuss this patient, a Boston patient who is being removed from the heart transplant list for being unvaccinated. This is occurring at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And they said that research had shown transplant recipients were at a much higher risk of dying from COVID compared to non-transplant patients. So they're telling him that he can no longer be on the list. His parents spoke recently to, I think it was Boston or CBS News. And we're keeping people informed about what's happening with this story because it really does show you kind of in a microcosm how far we've fallen and how bad this is getting, where it's all about scoring political points. You know, it's all about virtue signaling and being morally superior. And in the meantime, what these people don't realize, what these Karens don't realize, is that they've lost the plot. They're not being kind people. They don't care more about their neighbor by doing things like this, even though they have convinced themselves that that's the case. I want to get to all of these calls, so please do not hang up. Stay right there. But I do want to give everyone a quick update because we spent so much time on this today, and I would be sad if I didn't hit a few of these other stories. About the Supreme Court justice situation, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer did announce today that he's deciding to retire, and I want to run down what this actually means, because depending on what your source is on Twitter or what news you watch, you're getting two different ideas about this. But let's not get it twisted. This is a liberal justice who's retiring at age 83, who will be replaced by another liberal justice. Whether or not it's more liberal, less liberal, I don't know. Probably more, given how the pendulum is swinging. But it's a liberal judge being replaced by a liberal judge. If President Joe Manchin and President Kyrsten Sinema approve it, now that has a big factor in this as well. But nothing's going to change as far as the makeup of the court. That's what's important. But the left is trying to spin this today like this is some huge win for Joe Biden. Like some guy, this is how sad it is now, that this is how he has to get his wins. Some 83-year-old man deciding to retire is like, oh, add it to my list of accomplishments. Add another scoop of ice cream on this waffle cone. I'm having a great day. This is the best day he's had in weeks, and it has nothing to do with him. What I will say is, unlike other times where we talked about Supreme Court people, and you get kind of nervous, you don't know what's going to happen, in this case, I'm actually very excited to watch this confirmation process. I think the Democrats set the bar really, really low when it came to Brett Kavanaugh. So I will be curious to see how this pans out for them. All right. Now, a lot of people still do want to talk about the situation. We've heard from both sides. We've heard a lot of people saying that this is outrageous. A lot of medical people have called up and said, this is not what is supposed to happen. You are not supposed to be able to decide who gets what based off of their personal decisions. And then we've had some other people saying, I think one of the first callers said, I actually agree with the hospital. That's what this show is all about, having different opinions. But just to give you guys another quick run through, a 31-year-old father has been removed from the heart transplant list at a Boston hospital because he's refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine. The hospital's policy requiring recipients to have the COVID-19 shot is in line with many other transplant programs across the U.S. That is just some of the details. Let's first go to Zebra. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yes, thanks for taking the call, and thanks for keeping this in the public eye. Every minute that you keep this out there, and I know you had other things to do, is another ear that might hear it that hadn't heard it and might swing this the other way. So kudos to you to be responsible to the community and to adjust your schedule accordingly. And you can tell by the response, people do care. My point here is this, is a couple of things. We've all had experiences as good nurses, as bad nurses. The horror stories are out there. But this is clearly administrative and politically driven, and it's a clear logic look at this. Even Pfizer says the new variant, Omicron, is 99% of what's out there. And they're trying to develop a vaccine, and their old vaccines don't even work for it. So to say he's going to get a vaccine that's going to help him or not, they don't even have one. This is, you know, we're past that point. And clearly, when someone's more likely to die if they're on a transplant is because they're on immune suppressancy drugs. So whether you get a vaccine or not, they're going to deliberately suppress your immune system so you don't reject your heart. This is all political, all administrative driven.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Zebra. I think a lot of people share your sentiment on that. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Grace, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. Hey, look, I have kind of an opposite approach on this thing. I think that this guy is kind of being selfish to himself and really hurting his family and everybody, because I think that if you come down to a choice of either getting a new heart to save your life or a vaccine and refusing the vaccine out of principle with no real reason other than just saying I don't want the vaccine because I don't think it's correct, I think is really being selfish to him. If he's the breadwinner for the family and this heart transplant will save his life and be able to let him continue on to support his family, to me that seems like it's really, really being selfish. And that's my opinion about it.
And I appreciate your opinion, Mike. We always welcome other opinions on this show. I would push back on that and say I think there's a few reasons that he's hesitant to get this vaccine. I think he has concerns about some of the effects that we have seen as far as swelling of the heart. And I think that people standing by their principles is no small thing. I think it's an easy thing to say, oh, you don't want to get the heart transplant because of your principles. But what are we if we don't have our principles? If you don't have a certain point where you say, you're not pushing me around here, this is what I believe, then what are we even all doing? I hate to get too philosophical, but do you get what I'm saying, Jared? It's like, you could say that about anything, but principles are kind of what keep us what keep us going. They're what motivate you. They're what, you know, I don't take that as a small thing, and I don't think this guy does either, obviously. If it was something he thought was just whatever, he probably would have got it by now. But clearly it means something a lot more to him. And his parents respect the fact that his dad, I'm quoting his dad, he said he's sticking to his guns. And you don't see people sticking to their guns a lot. And I think that's actually a huge reason why we're in this current situation that we're in this country and in the world, is because there's not more people who say, enough is enough, I'm sticking with my principles.
Yeah, you need to have that. And he clearly is comfortable with his decision, you know. And I mean, we're debating this. Obviously, I don't think he would like to get the transplant. He would like to live. But you know, the debate is amongst us about his principles and his choices, which we really, truly don't understand. But from the article, his motivations weren't based in just, no, I'm refusing to get the vaccine. We don't know anything about his politics. You know, I would assume if he was an anti-vaxxer and a Trumper, we'd know that. I mean, that would be the first thing the press would blare out. But we don't know anything about his decision. All we can go based off of is what's in the article, and he has concerns about very real side effects that are proven from the vaccine.
And I remember not too long ago a time where judging people based off of their based off of their beliefs and based off of their principles and based off of their medical history and their medical decisions. I remember that was, you know, kind of very it was an uncool thing to do. And now it seems to be okay. Now it seems to be, well, you know, you're standing in the way of the rules. And I don't think we have an issue in this country of a lack of rule followers. I think we have an issue of too many. And I think this guy standing on his principles is actually very admirable, in my opinion.
And Mike does make a good point about if, you know, the rest of his family, they obviously would have to be involved in the decision, but they seem to be supporting him.
Yes. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Grace. You know, they keep telling us that the mortality rate for someone who gets a transplant is 20%. The numbers they leave out is what percentage of people who get transplants have come down with COVID? You know, what's 20% more mortality rate? But the question is, how many people does that 20% actually equate to?
Well, I think those are, and Mark, I think those are numbers that his family has probably discussed with the hospital, I would have to assume, because that would be my first question. If they said to me, well, you know, we're not going to give you the vaccine because, or we want you to take the vaccine because if you don't take the vaccine and you get the heart transplant, you have X amount more of a chance of dying. I would want to know what that percent chances. And obviously it's different for me. I've already been vaccinated, but I'm saying if you were someone who's against getting vaccinated, you've probably looked into the numbers. I don't think that there seems to be this urge from our current culture to just completely set aside anyone's skepticism of medicine, of government. A lot of this skepticism is not rooted in like QAnon craziness. It's just rooted in the fact that we've been told multiple different things over the past 2 years. You'd almost be insane not to be skeptical. Let's go to Paula. Paula, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paula.
Okay. Was it me? Okay. I thought, all right. Okay. So I've missed some of the discussions, but first of all, to have the transplant, it's a very, very, obviously very expensive, procedure, very expensive medicine. And if you have someone who will get the transplant and get sick with COVID, he won't have any protection against it. Right now, his immune system is normal. He'll have a normal response to the vaccine, a good response that will be helpful to him going forward. I don't believe all the vaccines have the equal risk of myocarditis. First of all, I think the myocarditis happened more in adolescent patients, and I believe it was one of the three major vaccines that had more trouble with it. So I don't believe he's at real risk from that. And usually, like I mentioned, it's a very expensive thing, and he, going forward, he'll be on immunosuppression medication, the vaccine he won't be able to take. He needs it now. You can't give it to someone who's going to be a setup for getting very sick with something that could have been prevented. I mean, that's kind of standard, really, medical approach.
Yeah, that makes sense to me as well. I think this is part of the conversation is I understand what you're saying as well. I just don't know if, I guess my question for you is, do you think that they should be denying him it if he's next on the list? Would you feel comfortable denying him that?
That's the protocol. They have a checklist. Check liver functions, check kidney functions, check pulmonary function tests, and standard immunizations would also be on that. Yeah, and right in the midst of COVID epidemic, he'll be a sitting duck. He'll be a sitting duck for it, and it won't look good. The medical community will not be happy.
It won't look good. Well, I appreciate your call. I get what you're saying. I understand. It's interesting. We've had people in the medical field call up today and have two very different opinions. Half of them think that this is a horrible thing to deny this man his heart transplant. And then some of them, like that last caller, think that this is just protocol. I'm not a doctor. I enjoy hearing both sides. I'm kind of now leaning towards the fact that I don't think it's up to them, though, to decide whether or not he deserves to get one. 844-500-4242. But I do appreciate it, especially when people seem to have medical background. We'll keep going with this. I've got some other stories to hit. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It's a very serious subject, what we're talking about. This man at a Boston hospital who is being told he's taken off the heart transplant list because he's not vaccinated. We've had a wide array of opinions on this. Some people in the medical community think this is standard procedure. Some people think this is horrible. It's a very slippery slope, which I think is a concern for a lot of people, whether you're medical or not. You know, if hospitals can start doing this and dictating whether or not you get certain surgeries based off your past medical history, we could be in for a rude awakening here. But I just want to say, I find this very helpful to have these kind of conversations where everyone might not necessarily agree, but we can be respectful. We can talk about it. With that being said, let's go to Celia. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Celia.
Hi, good afternoon. I love your show.
Thank you.
I love your show. You have a nice show. You know, good information.
Thank you, Celia.
But I got to make a comment about what I heard about this poor guy. You know, he can't get a transplant because he don't have the vaccine. I don't think it's right. This is not right. Some people want to have the vaccine. Some people don't want it. And it's up to the people. So what kind of government is this? If you have a vaccine, we're going to treat you. If you don't have the vaccine, you can die. That's what I look at. I'm getting scared now because I'm 72 years old. I don't want the vaccine. That's me. You know, somebody else wants the vaccine, they can take the vaccine. I'm not going to talk against anybody who has the vaccine. But forcing me to get a vaccine, and if I get sick, go to hospital, and they say, you can die because you don't have the vaccine, I don't think it's right. We're going back to Hitler's time? That's what it sounds like. Because this country is going the very, very wrong way. I never see craziness so much, and I'm 72 years old like I see right now. This is scary. Very, very scary.
And Celia, I give you a lot of credit because I think the way that you're looking at this issue is a way that if most people took on problems like this, we'd be in a better spot. You're thinking of how could this someday affect my life? And that is actually the most open-minded way of seeing anything is that, hey, I'm not going to think about it as this guy and his decision and his heart transplant. I'm going to think about someday down the road, how could the foundations of this issue come to affect me? And you're right. Maybe in a few years, you go to the hospital and they say, oh, Celia, we had this great thing, but you know what? You're not vaccinated. I would say it sounds crazy, but that's not crazy. It's actually, and I think if everyone looked at issues in that way and thought, where could this lead eventually? If we give in on this issue, where is that going to take us in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years? I think it's a really, really smart way to go about it, and I appreciate the call. 844-500-4242. We'll keep taking your calls. I am going to read a small piece but when we come back, but I will continue to take the calls on this story about the heart transplant. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, so I want to throw this out there to the conversation. We're discussing this situation at a Boston hospital where a man is being taken off the heart transplant list because he's not vaccinated. And I reached out to a very close friend of mine who is in the medical world. She's an incredibly talented healthcare person. And I asked her about this. And I just want to share it because I'm all about throwing out all these ideas, throwing out all sorts of different opinions, and this was her response. She said, I will say getting a heart transplant involves an extremely intense workup involving requirements like vaccinations, mammograms, dental exams, psych evaluation, colonoscopy. So, for example, if they found a polyp on your colon, you wouldn't be a candidate, right? Because the assumption is you may have cancer eventually, and then the heart would need to go to someone else. Or if you refuse a flu vaccine and you're getting new lungs, and right after you get the lungs, you get the flu and die, then the lungs would have been a better benefit to someone else. With that being said, it's a very difficult ethical dilemma. So she's not saying it's right, but she's saying this is the standard that usually goes through any of these big procedures. And I just think that is something that is valuable to the conversation to know about that. And I appreciate that input. I've appreciated all of these different perspectives because I came at this story not really knowing where I stood. I still don't know really where I stand. I do think I'm leaning more towards, I'm on this guy's side. I want this guy to be able to get the heart transplant. I think it's heartbreaking that he's going through this, and my heart breaks for his family. But I do see how, there are differing takes on this. Now, before we go back to the calls here, if you guys would just indulge me, please stay on the line. Don't hang up. Just indulge me for 1 minute. I want to lighten it up for just a second here. We know what happened with Peter Ducey. Peter Ducey was called a stupid SOB by President Biden. And now the explanation for this by Brian Stelter, he's like, well, Peter Ducey handled it well, and, you know, it's because it's different because Biden's not as scary and mean as Donald Trump, so that's why. When in reality, the only reason that it's not as big a deal to Peter Ducey is because he's not someone like Jim Acosta. And in fact, Jim Acosta yesterday talked about his time with the Trump administration and proved my exact point by the way in which he described his treatment by Donald Trump. Let's take a listen.
Correspondent for the entire Trump reign.
Yeah. And I've got the marks on my back to prove it, Don. I think we are in worse shape than we were to some extent during the early days, I guess, during most of the Trump administration.
So now we're comparing the treatment he got to Trump to him being physically abused. Is that supposed to be, is that his humor added again?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Now,
also, marks on the back to Don Lemon. Come on, dude. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's very insensitive. I also want to talk about this, though. There's a piece in National Review. It's by Charles C.W. Cook. I just want to read this quickly. It's hashtag don't browbeat my Pete. And the reason I think this is incredible is because he's writing this as if I think he were a brave, heroic, liberal journalist who had just witnessed such a travesty in front of the whole world. So let's have some music, please. I still haven't stopped shaking after last night's attack. Standing at the White House podium, the President of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, launched a violent incursion against my friend, Peter Ducey, the finest reporter in history. Ducey is a true professional, as good as they get. He is my brother, my friend, my colleague, my inspiration, my Valentine, my muse. He is a light shining in the darkness, a petal of truth beneath the gloomy cloud of power, a luscious wave that breaks exquisitely onto the shore. Peter didn't deserve to be called a stupid son of a bitch. Nobody in the media does. America is better than this. And then this is my favorite part. The little hand clap emojis. This is not normal. This morning, my 8-year-old daughter, Chrysanthemum, took off her gas mask and asked me why the president would say something like that to an American hero. I'm ashamed to admit that neither I nor her mother knew what to say. The president, this is Chrysanthemum talking. The president said he'd restore honor and dignity to the White House, she said, looking up from her hyperbaric chamber. But he's attacking the free press, which is just doing its job. This is how we lose our democracy. She's so wise for her age. She has so much potential. this isn't the world I want her to grow up in when she goes outside for the first time. On the statue I helped remove from New York City's hall, there is a quote from the slave owner, Thomas Jefferson, that has resonated with me ever since it became convenient to my side of the argument at 10 a.m. today. Our liberty cannot be guarded but by the freedom of the press, nor that be limited without danger of losing it. Just think about that. Let it sink in. Retweet if you agree. Our liberty is at stake here. Hashtag, don't browbeat my Pete. Very good stuff by Charles C.W. Cook, and not exaggerated at all.
Nope.
This is exactly what we would have seen had it been Jim Acosta or Caitlin Collins or any of those fine journalists who were called a stupid SOB. But instead, it's just the reporter from Fox News. So it's all good. Okay, let's go back to the callers here. Thank you for being patient with me. Let's go to Mary. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I was thinking about all of these operations and procedures, and I have been for kind of a while now, because I saw an ad that they were asking for blood donors that had not had the vaccine. And all these operations, they infuse blood. And so who's to say he's probably going to, if he gets that blood in that heart transplant, that the blood has the vaccine in it.
I don't know. See, that's beyond my... I appreciate the question, Mary. I'm not one to answer it. I don't really understand how any of that works. I'm not going to pretend to. But I have seen also that they are having a shortage of blood. They need people to give blood, which is just... That's just something to know if you're prone to do so. All right, Joy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joy.
Hi. Grace, how are you?
I'm good.
I just want to know, this guy has been on the list for a while, and I'm just saying, if this keeps up, and they're going to be picky and choosy about who they're going to give a heart or lung to, you know, people are going to start donating.
And
I think that will happen.
Oh, you think people will stop donating?
I think some of them might not want to donate because you should be able to help anybody.
Yeah, Joe, we've actually had callers today on this show who are organ donors who are saying that they're reconsidering it. And that breaks my heart, too, because, I mean, it's such a nice thing to do. But I understand. I mean, you don't want to think of this guy just because he has a different opinion or, you know, he has reservations to getting the vaccine, whatever they may be, that suddenly now he's going to be robbed of the opportunity of that heart transplant. And then we've had, like I said, I hate to keep playing devil's advocate. We have had people call up and say, this is very standard for the hospitals. So I don't know. It does feel like this guy is being unnecessarily picked on, but I don't know. Jared, you look like you're going to chime in.
Well, it's kind of an ubiquitous term, the vaccine. You know, which vaccine, what dosage, and people have brought this up. Is it just one shot? Is it two shots? Is it two shots and a booster? And also at the same time, there are legal issues here too, because there's no vaccine law. I mean, that could be a policy of the hospital per se, but there's also legal ramifications and some legal peril.
Yeah, you're
here
right.
For the hospital. Because it's not a law, it's not a rule, it's not a requirement, it's not in the Constitution. In fact, the Constitution's the opposite of that. So there's a bunch of different things going on here. And are we for certain that this is the vaccine that was taken off emergency authorization and FDA approved, or is it a different vaccine? Because then that factors in. There's a whole lot going on here.
Yeah, there is. You're right. There's a lot of layers to this story, and we're trying to be as sensitive, but also we're trying to let as many people chime in as possible, because I'm learning a lot, honestly, after having some of the medical people call in. I've been texting some of my friends who are in the medical industry, and it is interesting to hear about medical world, I should say. Jim, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Grace. I want to thank you and Howie for all you guys do, and I think it's a confusing discussion for people when they listen to all the science-y stuff. I've been a nurse at the Brigham for almost 35 years. and I've taken care of a lot of transplant patients. And I want to say I'm very proud of the medical care at the Brigham. I'm not really super happy with the politics. And I think a lot of what's going on, you can look at the medical care gets very intertwined with the politics, you know?
Yeah, Jim, I do know what you're saying, and we've had a few people weigh in on that. But because you work at the Brigham, I would want to ask you, what do you think of this? Like, do you think it's right for them to do this? I've had other people who work at these, you know, hospitals in Boston say that this is pretty run of the mill. This is just what they have to do. But are their hands tied, or could they give this guy the heart transplant?
It's awful. I hate it. I think this guy deserves a heart. Nobody knows anything about the science behind any of the vaccines or COVID. It's all a big dumpster fire scientifically. And, you know, when you hear the M&A nurse website people talking, you know, you have to remember, nurses are a very liberal group. And I don't fall into that. We have kind of a secret society of conservative nurses at the Brigham, and we just talk amongst ourselves. But, you know, you really can't untangle the medicine from the politics. And one thing I did want to say, because I want to keep this short, I know you have a lot of callers.
No, go ahead. I'm interested.
This guy did get an LVAD today. Did you hear about this?
No.
Okay. Well, it was on earlier during the Jeff Cooner show. So he got a mechanical heart implanted today, and I just want everybody to appreciate not everybody that gets listed for a heart is lucky enough to get to the top of the list like this guy. So when people, that doesn't happen, they do bridge people to mechanical implanted hearts. And this guy did get an LVAD this morning. And he will get better, and he will get another swing at a heart transplant, maybe when things untangle a little bit, I hope and pray. But I just wanted everybody to know that. And so, you know, keep saying your prayers, and everybody keep fighting. And, you know, thank you for all you do.
Jim, thank you so much. I'm going to end this segment with that call because I love hearing from someone who's actually involved in this, and we appreciate you calling in and weighing in on it. And I thank everyone else for calling in today. I know we still have full lines. We are going to stop it here, but maybe we'll pick it up again tomorrow. Like Marilyn Monroe once said, diamonds are a girl's best friend. And if you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and fear of losing them has stopped you. Now you can get a stunning 1-carat diamond alternative pair for only $79. Each earring is 1 carat, making it a total of 2 for only $79. This is a great Valentine's Day gift. It's romantic. They're beautiful. It's not going to break the bank. And if you get them for your wife or for your girlfriend or for whoever in your life, she's actually going to wear them, not just on a special occasion where she has to wear them and walk around, you know, double checking her ears the whole night. She can wear them every day and they feel really glamorous, but they're very affordable. It's a regular diamond. A regular diamond has 58 facets, but the Diamond XL has 106, which gives you more sparkle, more brilliance, and more beauty than a genuine diamond. I'm wearing them right now. They come in either a setting of silver or gold, and they come in a beautiful black velvet gift box. Men, be the star this Valentine's Day and surprise her with a pair of these gorgeous earrings. Ladies, you can get a pair for yourself. Don't wait for your man to get you a pair. And if you're single, this is the perfect way to treat yourself. This offer is only good for this week and shipping is guaranteed before Valentine's Day. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word Grace Diamond. Shipping is free. That's diamondxl.com, code word Grace Diamond. We'll be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I might point out, when I went to Dearborn driving that, was up there. I don't know, man. I think the press thought I was crazy. I enjoyed it so much going up and your new EV factory and that Hummer.
Hear that, Putin? Don't mess with us. That's some tough guy talk from Joe Biden. Hey, speaking of that, we have Howie Carr joining us now. Howie, would you care to take part in our daily poll question?
Yeah. I'm not really overwhelmed by the choices, but throw them at me again and I'll come up with a decision.
Today's poll question is sponsored by Bonner Private Wines. Real red wine, not chemically processed. No morning regrets, just great taste. Made in small batches from family wineries throughout the world, and you can't get Bonner wines at your local liquor stores only through the Bonner Private Wines partnership. So experience the adventure. Go to B-O-N-N-E-R privatewines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. Jared, can we hear the Donnie Deutsch sound before we give the entries here? This was Donnie Deutsch today talking about Tucker Carlson.
I want to go back to one argument about Tucker Carlson. Let's get this straight. And it's a little, the point I brought up about Glenn Youngkin in the first segment, that obviously the more polarizing you are, the more interactions you get, the better your ratings are. He's a ratings whore. Okay? That's it. It's a game. Let's stop saying it's performance art. That's what it is. And by the same way, last week he said that making kids wear masks in school is no different than the experiments the Nazis did on the Jews, the medical experiments, and it's the same kind of mandate situation. He's a ratings whore, and that's what it translates into. And that's what this is, period.
All right, a lot of tough guy talk. I'm going with Donnie Deutsch. Howie, who's your pick? Oh, we have to read this.
Who are my other options?
Donnie Deutsch, Keith Olbermann, Joe Scarborough, or Steve Schmidt?
I got to go with Donnie Deutsch because he puts on the fake accent on top of the fake tough guy persona. You know, it's a deadly combination.
It really is.
And also the fact is that he's been canceled how many times off of MSNBC because he can't get any ratings. That's like saying, if you got cut from the National Football League and you say, I hate that Tom Brady. All he cares about is throwing touchdown passes.
Right, I know. And it's funny because he used to talk about Trump and he knew Trump back in the day. And you really did get the sense that it was all jealousy. And now he's directing that jealousy at Tucker Carlson.
Well, this is even more direct because he's in a sense in competition. Kind of like if you're in Pop Warner as you're opposed to in the conference finals this weekend. Yeah.
Right. Okay. What are the results, Jared?
Donnie Deutsch, 19%, still in third place. Joe Scarborough in the lead at 43%, 33% for Keith Olbermann, and 4% for Steve Schmidt.
All right, Howie, so there's a lot of news stories out there today. We spent a lot of time talking about this story in Boston about the man who's being denied a heart transplant. But also, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is retiring. What are your thoughts on that?
I thought about making a poll question. Does a white male have a chance to get this job that's being vacated by a white male? And I thought, no, that's not a really good poll question, is it?
Well, you know what it makes me think of, Howie? Today, there was a cut of Kamala, and she was going through who she considers to be the most vulnerable. And she went through a list. She named absolutely every group you could ever think of. So essentially, the only people that weren't on this list were white men.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising. Right.
I think he
already said he's going to nominate a black woman.
Yes.
For the job. Yeah. So maybe this is the way to get rid of Kamala.
Well, that was Bill Kristol's idea. He thinks get rid of Kamala. And then you know what Bill Kristol thinks for 2024?
He wants to bring Hillary back.
No, Biden Romney. That should give you something to talk about, Howie. This.
Put it back in chains.
I think I'll just throw up into the wastebasket and move on to a new topic.
All right, everyone. Howie Carr is coming up next. This is The Grace Curley Show.